What's going on, y'all? This is Mike Brown, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning into the show. You know, y'all are here for me every week, getting me through these times, and I just wanted y'all to know that I'm here for y'all in whatever way you need. Please feel free to reach out on the social media, through email. Get in touch with me. I'm here for y'all. Know that none of us are going through this alone. Also, I just created a Patreon, so if y'all would like to subscribe to the Patreon, please do. I would love the support. Thank you so much. This is The Art of Letting Go.
Yo, what up? This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go.
Woo!
No, you're fine. You're fine. Today, I have a special guest in the building. I was on her podcast. What's so crazy is that we started our podcast in the same way. Therapy was too expensive for me. It was also too expensive for you. And you started a podcast.
Yeah.
And the thing that I appreciate most about your podcast is that you are just so authentic to yourself. Like, you know, you say what you mean, you say what you feel, and you just don't give a fuck how anybody else feels about that shit. And I appreciate that because that's something that I struggle with. So like when I see somebody else doing it that I know, like, it's very inspiring to me.
Oh, Mike, I'm gonna cry. This is like the first time. I'm like, and I'm already about to break down. Well, that was so sweet. Thank you. Sorry.
Absolutely. Can you let the people know who you are?
Yes, I am Stephanie Megan, the host. And the host of the podcast Broke Old Therapy. I was like, what do? Yeah. I create, host, produce, live my life for Broke Old Therapy, pretty much.
That's so dope. And we met at a podcasting event for people of color. And yeah, I never experienced anything like that before.
I saw you in like the buffet, like the snacks table, and I was like, oh my God, this guy's so cute. And then you like came out as gay and I was pissed. I was like, damn, like he had such good style. He was totally my type. But I think we can just be friends. It's fine. I was all like down to like flirt with you and everything. And I was like, oh, you like mentioned something that you're gay. And I'm like, okay, that's fine.
That's hilarious. That's too funny.
But I'm glad that we connected. I feel like it's been, you know, like a dope connection and friendship. So I'm excited to be on.
It has. And it's been like, it's been cool to like learn from you too. Like just to see how you run your show and like even just like how you market your show. Like is like it all has like an aesthetic to it. Like it's so dope to me.
Oh, thanks. It's been fun. It's been fun.
How long have you been podcasting?
I've been doing it for like, I started in September 2016 was when I aired my first episode. And it's crazy because I feel like it's just now that it's building traction. And something that I've always told myself is like, just keep going, just keep going, just keep going, you know? And then now it's really getting, you know, it's not a lot of work, but it's getting recognized. So I'm just like, God. Let me just take a break. I'm tired. But I'm excited. I'm like very blessed.
That's what's up. Do you still enjoy it?
I do, yeah. I told myself to continue to keep doing it until it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
And so, because that's the whole point of podcasting, right? Is like, it's especially like as independent podcasters, like this is something that we do for fun. And we can't go up here and like bake it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't make a good episode if we're just fucking baking it. So I just tell myself, as long as I'm having fun with it, that's all that matters. And I'm still like having a blast and I have like 1,000 things that I want to do. So, you know, I'm just waiting for this fucking quarantine to be over.
Right.
Like, I'm just like, okay.
I feel like it's something you have to be passionate about too. Like, you can't just be in it because you see people getting sponsorships and shit like that. And
right.
You know.
Yeah. And we were just talking about how like we've helped some people, you know, start the show, and you kind of see how, you know, some do like continue on, but there's others who just like are like, oh shit, this is a lot of work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What else was I gonna ask you? I'm a little drunk too.
Like, me too. I'm like kind of tipsy.
I feel like every time I do a show with you, I get a little drunk.
But you know what's crazy? I feel like people think that I drink way more than I do. And I actually like haven't even really been drinking this quarantine. Like I did an episode yesterday, so I drank a little bit, but other than that, like I have not been drinking all that much. I wish I was, honestly. I feel like I would have more fun in this quarantine if I was drunk, but I just haven't been in the mood.
What have you been doing most of the quarantine?
Well, I moved into my new space. I don't know if I've told you or if you've noticed, because you've been to my like basement the last time you came over. And so I've been like half of the quarantine, I've just been like settling in, like painting. And it was nice because I was just like a lot of people, you know, in the world, like I got temporarily laid off.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of fucking time. And with that, you know, I moved in, I started my TikTok, and then I actually got my job back. So now I'm just working during the day and then taking,
that's what's up.
You know, just watching Love Island at night. Like that's literally my quarantine. I'm obsessed with Love Island.
That's funny.
Yeah.
What's the thing you miss most? Like, what do you miss most?
I miss, okay, it's so random, but I miss like getting ready and calling my Lyft to go to the bars. Like, I don't know why, something about like calling my Lyft, like I miss, you know what I mean? And be like, oh my God, it's here. And then like rushing out after like taking like a bunch of shots before I go out and pre-gaming, you know? And then I miss that. And then,
funny.
Yeah. And then I also miss, I mean, just human interaction. Like, I miss just having me, like, telling a friend, like, hey, come over. Like, I got this new place, and I can't even invite my friends over to fucking kick it, you know? So I've just been Zooming every fucking day.
Does it feel different podcasting on a Zoom?
It does. I mean, like we were saying, you know, it's definitely working for now, and it's kind of the new normal, you know? Like, a lot of people are, you know, using Zoom, like even big ass shows like The Breakfast Club, but it's not the same. Like I feel like I love being here, and like when I do a show, like you've been on the show before, like we kick it before, like we like smoke, you know, my cigarettes obviously, and then we drink, and you know, we just have like a good time, you know, that way when we start recording, it's like it creates this like environment that's already just like there because we've been hanging out for like 3 hours before we start recording.
Yeah.
You know, so I do miss that.
Something I've been doing on some of my episodes, and I forgot to do it at the beginning of this one, mm-hmm. which we could throw it in there right now. Mm-hmm. But me, my guest, and the listeners, we all take 3 breaths together to kind of just bring us in the same space together. Yeah. So you close your eyes or you keep them open.
Okay.
And we can breathe in. Breathe out.
That was good.
Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in one more time. And let it go.
Damn, the art of letting go. That was really good. I feel like, and it's funny, I have my inhaler next to me like, to help me breathe. So I felt like I needed that. that's what you guys do for like all your episodes. Like you take those deep breaths.
I've been doing that on some of the quarantine episodes just because I want to feel in the same space as my guests.
Yeah. No, I love that. That's such a good idea.
I appreciate that.
It's very therapeutic of you.
Thank you. You know, I try.
I know you have this personality that's just like so chill. It's so relaxing. It's so like comfortable to be around. And I'm just like this neurotic, like, like yeah, you know. And I'm like, it's nice. Like you like calm me down. You ground me. What's your sign?
I'm a Libra.
Okay.
What about you?
That's true. That you're like a balance. I'm Aquarius.
Okay, my mom is Aquarius.
Oh, really? My mom's a Libra.
Wow, that's crazy.
Look at that. I love Libras. I have so many Libras in my life.
That's what's up. I feel like I'm, You know, I used to think I wasn't balanced, but I feel a lot more balanced in my life than I ever have.
Yeah, you're very balanced. I'm very, like, up in the air. Just floating around, trying to figure it out.
That's funny. Have you been doing any dating during the quarantine?
Bitch. Let's get into it. The quickest response to that is no. Mm-hmm. I'm in such a complicated situation. Like, I mean, I just technically got out of a relationship. That was like the first man that I've ever loved in like 10 years, but everything was just working against us to not be together, you know, with him having to move and all the stuff that he's like personal issues that he's going through. It's just like, every time we like try to make it work, it just, our life is just not aligned, you know? So yeah, I mean, I'm not in a place to just start dating, because I'm just still in love with him. And honestly, we still like call each other like, you know, a couple times a week just to check in and say, I love you. You know what I mean? But I don't know. It's hard. I've never like been through this before.
Yeah.
Love is a bitch, man.
It is. And I was going to ask you, how do you know when it's time to like stop? You know what I mean? Like,
if someone ever figures out that answer, let me know. because I think about that all the time, because it's like, I know that we're not technically, we don't have the label, but you know, we still love each other just so much, you know? And it's like, we don't know when to just, I don't know when I'm going to make it like, I don't know when I'll be ready to move on, or if I ever will be ready to move on. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I should try, but I'm kind of just like, I mean, one, it's like, we're in the middle of a fucking pandemic. Right. You know what I mean? So,
but you don't feel more vulnerable being in a pandemic? I know I do.
Do you really? How so?
Well, like, just being alone so much and feeling alone, sometimes it kind of makes me like want that companionship, and like, you know, it may make me want to reach out to that old boo, or like,
see, that's been happening.
But I have to check myself though too. Like, nah, that's not the move. And just being clear on like what it is I want and what I'm doing.
Right. Have you reached out to any oaks? So you haven't reached out.
I have talked to quite a few old boos, and some have reached out to me. Some I reached out to. I'm just not there, like being very clear with myself, like just general conversation, like, you know, how are you doing? Like really checking in, like a couple of people have like talked to me about dating and stuff. And it's been interesting to like hear their perspective of where they are. And like, it makes me very introspective and looking at myself and like, okay, well, what do I want right now? Like presently in my life, what is important to me? And I've been thinking about that a lot. And it's so crazy that like dating does not come up that high on the priority scale anymore. Yeah. And it almost feels like a distraction from what I like really want to do.
Yeah. So like, do you want a relationship? And so you don't want a relationship anytime soon?
I don't think so. I still feel like I have some work to do here, but also like I got goals and stuff that I want to accomplish. And
right.
I think like that has my focus so much right now that I don't know if I could focus on both at the same time right now.
Right. What if you find the right one who's like down to just like be there, but be not a distraction? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you've, I'm not saying that you should now just really search, but like if someone comes across and they're just like, you can't help but feel the way that you feel, and they're just super supportive or just like,
I think if it just came up, I'd be here for it if it just came up. But I think like the pursuit of it is just not there.
The pursuit is the work. Like that's the work that becomes a distraction. But once you're like in a relationship, it's, you know, like you figure it out to kind of like have, you know, to balance each other and be in each other's lives. But it's the whole dating thing that's just a fucking bitch, you know? Like you go online, hey, what's up? You cute? Hey, you too? You want to meet up? Yeah, what time? This time? And then like, and it's the same thing. You're just like, yeah, I grew up here. I'm it's just, you know what I mean? It's just, it's so much work.
Like, what are you into? Yoga, museums, the same shit. Right? It becomes a script.
It does. Like, it was so redundant, you know? And I think that's why I haven't really been, like, motivated to even, like, go back out there, because it's like, I have something real, and although, like, he's so far away, and, you know, it, like, it's hard to see it working right now. It's like, when I talk to him, it's like, it's not one of those, like, redundant conversations I get if I just go on fucking Tinder or Hinge and, like, match with someone, you know? Like, I'm not in the mood to having those type of, like, superficial conversations anymore. I'm just not. So, you know. It was fun for a minute. It was fun to, like, go get drunk, you know, and, like, not think and whatever. But now I'm just like, I don't want the Rona. Like, I don't want to risk my life.
No, that's real. That's real. So,
yeah.
I was going to ask you, what does a healthy relationship look like to you?
See, that's something I still need to figure out. I mean, you know, healthy relationship. That's a good ass question. No one's ever asked me that question. Like, I always feel like I always think of, like, the unhealthy, like, what type of unhealthy relationships there are out there. But I never think about what type of healthy relationships are out there, what I want, you know? Yeah. I mean, I think for me, like, honestly, when growing up, like, my, you know, I'm a child of divorced parents. So, and they divorced when I was 16 years old. And, you know, I saw them fight. I see the whole divorce like unfold. So I definitely, you know, and at 16 years old, that continues to stick with me. So it's kind of hard to be like, this is the example that I had, because it's kind of like, I want to fight like the generational curse of not getting into the same thing, of getting into divorce. So, I mean, for what I saw that I don't want is something that isn't angry or have resentment or, you know, is toxic. I definitely want someone who's like my best friend, who I could work things out with and who could listen to me, who, because I talk a lot, you know, or someone who respects me. And I mean, I feel like those all are really basic things, but like when you've seen such a toxic relationship, you value those things. You're like, it's really important to have trust, you know? Yeah. So I hope that that does happen for me. And I hope, you know, I mean, it's kind of a hard question for me to answer, to be quite honest, because I don't think I've ever been in a fully healthy relationship. And that's very unfortunate, but
damn, yeah,
that's why I have broken therapy to figure out and hopefully get to, you know, a healthy relationship that could last forever.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to answer that question, boy. I'm figuring that shit out. I don't know. What's a healthy relationship to you? Like, what's your kind of experience growing up, you know?
So I grew up with both my parents married, and what's lucky. So funny is, and it's like lucky, but also like I think that is why it's so easy for me to walk away from a relationship that doesn't feel like the right one, because like, and forgive my, like, I hope my parents forgive me if they ever listen to this, but you know, their relationship didn't look healthy to me because they didn't know how to communicate with each other. Mm. But they like just stuck it out for like, and they still are together, and I'm sure they are like have progressed since then.
Right.
I think for me growing up, it looked so much like something I didn't want that I was just like, eh, I'd rather not be in a relationship than to be arguing with somebody all the time. Or like,
I see. Know. Yeah. I mean, yeah, but I mean, granted, I was excited when my parents, not excited, but I was relieved when my parents divorced, because they did fight all the time. And I was just like, you know, but I think, you know, it's like the reality is, it's like no relationship is going to be perfect.
True.
So what is it that we're able to somehow deal with for the rest of our lives? Like, and that is what I'm trying to figure out. Like what, you know,
communication is like the most important to me, like being able to communicate and like express yourself, and me being able to express myself freely, you know, like having the space and the comfort to like really express what I feel, but also that person being able to do that with me.
100%. I think in every single type of form of relationship, that is honestly something that is universal that we all need. I think what's also important for me is like if we love the same way, because there's something, I feel like I'm airing my parents' shit out, but it's fine. But you know, with my parents, like I felt like, you know, my dad is the sweetest man alive. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, he's so sweet. He's just like, just chill, you know, and he's funny, but like, he's not really the most romantic dude. He's not someone who like uses his words to express the way he loves you. He's not someone who's like going to think of a creative way to do a gigantic romantic, you know, date for somebody. Like, he's just like a very simple dude, and that's fine, you know. But my mom loves to be the center of attention, and she needs something that's elaborate, and she needs like to affection, she needs that, you know. So, you know, my dad's the type to like last minute get like flowers and candy when it's on sale or something like that, you know what I mean? Like, he's just so simple. And I think that that, like, you know, that played a huge part in my parents' relationship, you know, because my mom wasn't feeling loved enough, so there was resentment, and she was just like, you know, upset, and you know, so.
I think my mom's the same way. I do, and I feel like she probably still holds some of that resentment.
Yeah.
Because she's still in that marriage.
Right. So I think that that's important. Before I get communicate, and I can tell you that, hey, I want you to fucking, like, love me like this, you know, and for them to understand and want to do it. And honestly, I feel like, you know, I want to be with someone who just naturally does the things that I like, you know, the way yeah. that we love, you know, like love languages and shit. Like, I think it's important that we all kind of know what that is and, you know, express that to our partner, because that can go a long way, along with communication, you know.
And with that too, though, I want my partner to understand my love language, but also, like, be natural and authentic in giving right. it. Like, I don't want it to feel forced. Like, if it's not your thing, I don't want you to feel forced about it. But I also have right. to be clear too, like, you know, you don't speak that language,
you know? Exactly. And respect it. I feel like, yeah, absolutely. I don't think it was like this type of conversations were happening back in the day, because I feel like I look at my parents, I'm like, did y'all not like really think about that? Like, did you not realize that, like, you know? But then again, I guess I couldn't completely blame them, because people change as you get older and there's kids, and you know, I don't know.
I think people weren't as open back.
That's also a scary thing too.
Like, I don't think people were having conversations with their friends about their relationships and being able to say, oh, you too, me too. And you know, I don't think. Yeah, I think there was like a different level of pride
back. Yeah, and I think, you know, for me, I'm a first gen, so my parents, you know, were immigrants. And, you know, being Filipino, like, as much as I love my community, the thing that is so fucked up about the older generation, the Filipino generation, is that therapy was like something that was just like taboo, you know, or like so many things were so taboo that you just don't talk about. You just sweep under the rug. You just blend it in. You just don't think about it. It never happened. So you don't really discuss or openly talk about it. And that's why, you know, as someone who's Asian American, like, I'm so excited to have a show where I could just break that fucking generational curse, because that's something that is a problem. And I think that yeah. has created a lot of things that I feel like now that I'm dealing with, you know, it's because it wasn't talked about when I was younger. And so yeah. my parents didn't talk about it. So that's why their, you know, marriage didn't work or whatever. So, you know,
that's real.
It is. I hope my kids like come out okay. You'll be like, well, my parents were a little too open. My mom just be funny. Out there talking about dick and sex and shit, and now here I am all fucked up. No, I don't know. I hope they're okay.
But I'm gonna tell you though, I like sometimes I kind of wish I did get this kind of conversation from my parents, just to see that they were human, you know.
Yeah. 100%. Like, it's I mean, it's crazy, because I feel like, you know, growing up, obviously they weren't gonna tell me about how they like, you know, start dating or whatever. Like, I found out later on in life that the reason why my mom married my dad is because she got knocked up, you know, but she didn't want to ever tell me that. But it's just like, she will never, you know what I mean? It's just like stuff like that. I'm like, okay, like they are human. They make mistakes, and they've done some shit and stuff. So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I don't know where I was going with that. I just wanted to air out my mom, be like, she got knocked up. They're like, why am I saying that again? Her mom's gonna listen and be like, oh my god.
That's hilarious.
But it's fine, you know. I'm glad I'm I haven't gotten knocked up.
That's real.
Yeah, because it's crazy because it's like I feel old. I feel like, you know, being 29 years old. It's young, but it's like, as a woman, it's, you know, it's like you start thinking like, oh shit, I gotta start having kids soon, because, you know, there's all these complications if you have kids later. So I don't know, do you ever feel like rushed as like a man?
No, I'm gonna be honest with you, I still feel like 25. I really do, and it's weird because like
I'm the same way. I'm like, no, I'm not 30. Like, yeah. I still feel like I'm 25.
100%. Yeah, and I appreciate
26.
Because
you don't feel rushed?
Nah, I don't. I really don't. Which I think the thing that I think about most, though, is that I do want to be, and I guess that's why I stay so active, because I think the biggest thing for me is being able to be active with my kids. So, mm-hmm. like, you know, if I do have kids, when I do have kids, whatever. But, like, I want to be able to do some of the things that my dad did with me, like being able to, like, you know, play basketball with me, or, like,
right.
you know, being there in active ways to be able to keep up with me. So I would like to, you know, that's something I really think about more than anything.
That's true. I think about that, too, because, like, I get so tired just going up the stairs. And I'm like, imagine if I had a kid. Or like if I babysit my friend's kids, I'm like, after a day of like whole day babysitting, I'm just like so exhausted. I'm like, how the fuck do you guys do this? I mean, I'm so excited to have kids, but then I like think of those moments and I'm like, I'm so out of shape. I need to get it together, you know? So.
And I think for me, like one of the biggest things, I just want to be open with my kids and just like really be open to them as well. So when I want them to feel comfortable to like share anything with me and me not Same. Have like a, you know, like a older Awkward. Person reaction. Right. Like I want to be able to have that comfortable relationship with them.
Right. And not make them feel uncomfortable about being,
yeah.
like, Dad, I just had a boner. Right. What is this about? I don't know. They're not going to say that. I don't know. Maybe they will. But like,
I mean, you know, those are experiences. No, I definitely like just think about all those like teenage experiences and like even, you know, from my sister, her experiences, I'm sure like there was stuff my dad probably just wasn't even comfortable to even talk about with her because he just didn't know how. So, you know,
sisters do you have?
I just have one.
Okay. I grew up being the only sister too. And I had two brothers growing up, and I always kind of felt, and I was in the middle child too, and I always kind of felt like no one understood me. I don't know if it was just like a girl thing, or
I feel like for me being the oldest, I felt like the pressure was just always on me, like the pressure was always on me to like be the best and like do the best
and take care of the rest of your siblings, and that's true.
To be responsible.
How do you think that's affected who you are now?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because it does play a part.
I think it kind of made me like wanting like the desire to be like a perfect and a perfectionist. Like it kind of steered that for sure.
Yeah. But, do you feel like, you know, you're more? Do you feel like you kind of have to be in charge, or?
You know what's funny? I've always felt like a leader, but also kind of always ran from the position. But now I've always felt it, like as a role to lead.
What do you mean ran from the position? Like you just didn't want that kind of like weight on your shoulders?
Yeah, like the responsibility of it. Like it just used to feel like a lot in different situations. I won't say in every situation, but I'll say like, in a lot of them when I was younger, like I I've always felt like the role to lead something or like had an idea. Like you ever work in a group project and you see shit and know how the shit goes and you have the plan, but you also just kind of just play the background and just not even like take the lead of saying, hey, this is what it should be. Like I've always been like that.
Okay.
But yeah, now, what are you going to say?
No, you go. Yo, this is about you.
I was
going
to say, now I see it doesn't work for me. So I've been having to take charge and take lead on things. And like, I think just finding my own voice, honestly, this helped me a lot in finding my voice and like being able to be outspoken and stuff like that. Like I've been at work sometimes and had to speak out on things and people be like, whoa, like, thank you for saying that. It's like, anybody could have said that. But then I also think about a few years ago, I wouldn't have done that, you know?
Right, right. Okay, that's good. I think for me, like, I'm a middle child. It's like a want for, like, attention in a way. Not that I'm, like, an attention whore, but it is, like, I will notice if someone... I don't even know. I feel like... I don't feel like I'm necessarily a leader. I just always kind of felt like... I don't know. I just kind of just blend. I always, like, I feel like I do kind of struggle finding like where I stand sometimes with people. And that's something that I always think about. Like even at work, I'm just like, okay, am I like the first assistant or second assistant? Is that something they have to do? I don't know. Like I always felt like, you know, I don't know. That is a good question. But I do feel like I never got as much attention as my brothers for sure. Cause I was the middle child. I was the only girl. I got a different kind of attention, but I felt like they always had a little bit more. You know, like my older brother had more, you know, had to like take the lead. My younger brother was like the cute little funny one. And I was just me like moody.
Could that be a girl thing? No. And I asked, could that be a girl thing? Cause I feel like my sister feels the same way as well.
I don't know if it's necessarily a girl thing. Maybe it's a girl thing, but is she in the middle child?
She's the youngest.
She's the youngest.
It's only two of us.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting. I don't know. I mean, just wanting attention necessarily, is that what you mean? Is that a girl thing?
I get more attention.
You know, I don't know, because I always wonder that. I felt like, you know, everything that we did always revolved around my brothers, and I never had like a solid thing that, like, for instance, every Sunday we'd go to church, and then afterwards my brother played basketball, so we would always have to go to his basketball practice, and I would sit and watch him play basketball every fucking Sunday for like most of my childhood. And then when we go on vacation, it was, you know, to Las Vegas or San Diego for his like basketball tournaments and stuff like that. So I feel like everything was always revolved around him, and there was never really something for me to have that like I could, you know, that my brothers could be like, oh, like we have to go support Steph at this. Like I never had that, you know? So I think I think honestly, that's why I always sought out a lot of like friendships with people. Like I was just like, well, you know, I made a lot of friends because I'm making my family sound like horrible, but no family.
No, not
perfect.
At all. No.
Okay.
You sound like a family.
But yeah, so I always like, you know, seeked out a lot of friendships, and that's why I learned to, you know, gain a lot of friendships because, you know, it was hard in my household to have someone to go to or pay attention, you know, for someone to pay attention to me, or like, you know, I didn't have my brothers had each other to be like, oh, let's play video games. Like I didn't have that, you know? So then I sought out like friends who felt like sisters to me that I could go do those things with, like do my hair, my makeup and stuff like that, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. I think that's why. I'm just dissecting myself.
This no, it's therapy. All good.
Like, why did I like this?
Bro girl therapy.
Bro girl therapy. Like, how has this played a part in my life?
Do you feel like your younger self would be proud of who you are today?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Because she honestly, I don't know if you saw my Instagram, but when I was like 9 years old.
I did. I saw that. You know what's so crazy? I saw that video and it made me think about when I was younger. Like we used to like film ourselves as well. And like, I used to record myself on like a microphone and like rapping and stuff as a kid.
Aww.
But, like, to still be doing that as an adult, it's like, damn, like I'm living out my childhood.
Oh, exactly. Like, I still feel like, I know people say they're like, there's always that like inner child in you. Like, how old is she? Like, who is she? You know? Yeah. And like, I feel like it's literally that girl from that video. Like, yeah. I it's crazy. Like, I always feel like she's still there, but I honestly, like, I filmed, you know, myself. I had several talk shows. I had Stephanie's talk show, and then I had Stephanie's CDs where I'd go through all my like CDs of like NSYNC and Britney Spears and like talk about all the songs I liked. You know what I mean? Like, and then I had Stephanie's talk show where I talked about, you know, me wanting a dog or whatever, like kid shit. But yeah. You know, like, as like artist, sorry.
That's all good.
As artist, I mean, as kids, like, we're all artists, you know? So in order to, like, continue to stay creative, it's, like, you always kind of have to channel that inner self. Because we're all creative. We've all been creative.
Yeah.
But to master, like, you know, to dive in and to kind of reach that, like, that child-like side of you is, it's fun. And it's a lot, you know?
Yeah, and I definitely try to tap into it, too, because I feel like he didn't care about quality. He didn't care about none of the bullshit that, you know, that we think that we really need. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like you said earlier, like, you know, going from feeling like you have to have a certain microphone and a certain recorder and certain lights to now everybody using fucking Zoom with whatever lighting they have at home.
Right. But it's like using your imagination. Like, we just, you know, although, yeah, maybe we wanted higher production, but at the same time, we didn't understand what that was. We're just like, let's just figure out how to. I made my brother pretend he was doing a music video. And you know how, like, back in the day when you have, like, a music video that has, like, the credits in the corner, like, right here, you know? Like, I remember I, like, wrote it down on a piece of paper and had, like, the credits right there. Before, like, you know, and I rolled that before I did the video. And it was, like, because I had to use what I had in order to get creative, you know? And I think that that's all of us as artists and podcasting, music. It's, like, you got to use what you got and, like, start with that and, you know, build from there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's crazy.
It is. That's really dope too. Like, that's dope to still see you, like, still sticking with what you've been doing. What advice would you give to your younger self?
Damn. I would tell her to just, like, love herself and not have everyone's opinions and thoughts overcome me, because I think a lot of times I dealt with, like, you know, I mean, it's a huge part of the show is where I dealt with, like, self-worth, you know, because for so long I was kind of trained to think that I was not worthy enough almost. So I had to, you know, I had to, like, dive into why that is and figure out that I am and what that means, you know. So I think just telling myself, you know, that people's opinions don't really matter. And I feel like this all sounds so cliche, but I swear to God, it's something that I would really, like, sit down with my 9-year-old self and be like, listen, you're beautiful. You got this, you know? Cause I mean, I think I'm sure maybe you've struggled with this too, where it's kind of like, what is that called? It's like not an identity crisis, but it's like, fuck. It's that, like, it's a syndrome where it's like,
Imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just feel like, no, we're not really, like, I remember when I first started, I was like, I'm not like a podcaster. I'm not like a host. Like, why would ask people to follow and subscribe to me? Like, I'm not real, you know? And having to just, like, overcome that actually takes a lot, you know, to just be like, just tell people to subscribe. It's fine. Like,
where do you think that comes from for you?
I think it comes from a lot of things. I think, you know, when I started my show, you know, I did have people support me and be like, okay, but I felt like there was a lot of bit of, like, side eye of, like, why are you doing something like that? You know, like, this is not going to be anything. You know, you have your doubts and haters and stuff. So it's kind of like, I felt a little timid at first. If you compare my old episodes to my newer ones, I was definitely like, you know, like immature a little bit. But so I think it's a little bit of that, but also maybe I think social media also plays a part too. It's like you see all these people who seem so much bigger than they actually are, and you think like, am I that like popular? Yeah. Am I that great? You know, like you see competition, you see other shows or like competition or whatever, and you just like, you just start comparing yourself like, oh, I'm not that. But then with time, it just, I just realized, I'm like, no, like I am that. I'm just my own version of that. You know, yeah. I don't need to compare. So I really just stopped comparing myself to others, and just realized like I was my own competition, and to just stay in my own lane and to not, you know, have all that extra shit be a distraction, because I got my own journey. They got their own journey. Like just because they blew up in less than a year, like shit, I don't have that kind of money or privilege.
Right, you yeah, know? No, absolutely.
Like, I mean, for instance, you know, okay, so not to throw shade because I support every single show, but lately I've been getting a lot of I got a lot of hate on TikTok from these 16-year-olds telling me that my show is just like this one other show. And you know, so, and I didn't care. I was like, whatever, fine, compare. It's all up to you. But then I saw someone say that I was like the knockoff version, and that pissed me off because yeah, like I put in years of work into this, and I looked onto that show and I saw, I actually started in 2016 and they started in 2018, and you know, good for them for doing really well. Like I don't, you know, they have their own little journey, but you know, they started to real, they started with a network who had money, who had, and I'm sure they probably already had a platform. Like I started from like nothing, you know, like I didn't even have a laptop. Like I had to, you know, use a friend's laptop in order to record an episode, you know, and from there I started building production and what, you know, the aesthetic and everything like that. So that took time. I didn't start from, you know, just a studio network saying, hey, you know, let's do an up, you know, do a show, whatever. Like I didn't have that kind of, you know, privilege.
And I'm gonna be honest though, I think that's what makes your show so dope, is that you are grassroots. You know, you're starting it from the ground up. Like, you know, there's an authenticity to your show. So it's like the people that are tuning into that shit and saying that you are knockoff or whatever, those are fickle fans. Those are people that, you know, you fall off, they're not even gonna be around to really like be checking for anything else from you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what we're doing, is like building a and not really a following, but a community of loyalty with what we're doing. Cause it's like, you know, who gives a fuck like how many listens you have or how quality or whatever the shit looks, because you know, if it's people that's hitting you up and telling you like, man, this helped me so much, man, this, I connected to this so much, who gives a fuck about any of that other shit?
Exactly. No, I mean, it was definitely just like a moment of like,
I feel you though.
I'm human. My feelings were hurt, and I was like, and I even went on my Instagram and I put like a screenshot of that comment, and then the next after that I put, you know, I've circled the year when they started and the year that I started, because I'm just like, I'm not copying anybody. Like I worked way too hard to be considered. And also, here's the thing, like reality is, whether they're, you know, bigger than me, whatever, the thing is like there's so much more room in this platform for women to talk about sex and dating. It's, I mean, as much as I love my show, it's not the most, you know, not the most, not what I'm saying. I'm saying like the topics that we talk about is not revolutionary necessarily. Like there's so many people nowadays who are doing that, and so many people who can do that, which is amazing, you know? So it's, yeah, it's like there's so much more shows that talk about the same things that I talk about. But what makes it important is like it's my own perspective, and then it's their own perspective. So if you're feeling their show because if you feel like you can relate to it more, that's on you. And if you feel like you like mine because you can really relate to my stories more, then that's dope. Or you can relate to both. It doesn't matter. It's not like you have to choose. So and yeah, I mean, I had a moment, but I got over it.
Absolutely. And the thing about you is like, the way that you deliver your message and your story, I think, is so powerful. Like, it could be a million shows like yours, but what you're doing, I think, will empower other women to, like, be outspoken and speak freely, because I do feel like women sometimes hold back or maybe like feel like they can't express themselves in a way without, you know, getting a negative response. So for you to express yourself however, and it could be happy, sad, cry, mad, cursing, whatever, like that's really dope to see. It really is.
Oh, thank you. I love
absolutely
that. No. And you know that I'm like a huge fan of you. I had you on my show being like,
yes.
I love that you're like, we have like, we talked about being, you know, black, queer and all that stuff. So
you out here doing dope things, and like I think you definitely have to know that, for real. Like, that's why I brought you on, really, to let you just know that, like, you out here doing dope things.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. I thank you so much. Honestly, it feels good. Like, it feels good to have, you know, and I feel like now that my show's on TikTok, or my snippets on TikTok, and people are gravitating towards it there, like, I am getting a younger audience. And at first, I was, like, very skeptical. So I was like, I'm out here talking about vaginas and shit. Like, I don't know if you're age. Like, should we really be, like, exposing, like, sex and shit to you? But I'm like, you know what? No, fuck that. Because if I was 16 years old, I wish I had a show or someone tell me, like, yo, all of our vaginas look different, and that's okay. Like, no one's vagina is better. Like, shit, my vagina is fucking hairy and dark. It's fine. We're good. We're okay. You know, we're all like, no matter what, like, ladies, they will stick it in no matter what, no matter the situation you got going on. So, yeah. So, I mean, I'm glad that now I have a younger audience being like, oh my God, you made me feel better about that. So, and that's why, you know, that's why I do it. It feels good.
That's really dope. What advice would you give to somebody just getting in the podcasting, or somebody that's like really trying to just advance in podcasting?
Just do it and make content that you're proud of and that you're excited about. You know, like for me, like I said earlier in the show, like, I told myself I'm going to continue doing this, you know, until I'm not happy. Like, I want to always be happy when I do this. I don't want this to feel like it's a job, you know, like I already got a lot of jobs. I feel like I'm always working. So, like, I want this to be something that I could have control of and be, you know, express myself. So make sure that, like, this is something that, you know, that makes you feel good. And put, like, I feel like with every episode, I don't know if you do this, Mike, but I always want it to be like my new favorite episode. You know, and if it's not my new favorite episode, it's probably not a good episode. So, and I think, you know, also like put shit out there and figure it out and try it out, but also like don't just force yourself to make something just for the sake of making something, you know, like there's times where maybe I'm not in the right headspace. And the beauty of podcasting is we have that flexibility to take breaks and to not put out the episodes if we don't, you know, we're not there, if we're not happy, you know, about it. So there's been times where, yeah, maybe I don't put out an episode, but then it's okay because the next few episodes are dope as fuck because you know what? I'm proud of those, you know? Yeah. So, you know, just making sure that you have fun with it, keep going, you know, like just because you don't pop off in the first fucking year, you know, doesn't mean you won't in the next few years. You just got to keep consistency, man. That's literally the key. Have you ever heard of the show Pen 15? It's on Hulu.
No.
It's this show. It's hilarious. These two girls who are actually now in their 30s, and they wrote this show about their junior high experience in the early 2000s. And it's a hilarious show. And they actually play themselves. So they're 30-year-olds dressed as like 13-year-olds in the midst of other 13-year-olds, you know, go in like the early two, and it takes place in the early 2000s. So they go through like, you know, the middle school shit of like wearing a thong for the first time. It's hilarious. Anyway, so the two main actors in the show have been writing and putting together the show for 6 years.
Wow.
And it wasn't until the sixth year was when they got picked up by Hulu and it became, you know, a very successful show. So, and that like motivated me because it took them 6 years to really, you know, for it to pop off, you know? So that's something that I always tell myself is like, don't rush. It just got to, yeah. They always say too, it's like, if they maybe got it, you know, to Hulu or wherever, maybe like the first couple of years, it wouldn't have been ready, you know? So yeah. It took them 6 years to be ready. for what was to come. So yeah, that inspires me. So I always try to tell people, like, just keep going. Just
yeah.
Keep fucking going. Yeah. Until you're not happy anymore. Don't force it.
Right. That's what's up.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, the last question I have for you is, what is one piece of advice or a lesson that you learned on your journey that you could share with the listeners?
Ooh. Like, just on the show that I've learned?
Or just in life? Life.
I mean, yeah. It is my life, so just match up. God, I mean, where do I begin? What should I reveal? I mean, I already talked about my self-worth. I mean, I feel like that's really just the biggest one. Is I felt like I've lied to myself for so many years about what I wanted to be or where, you know, like, for instance, when it came to my career, I thought I wanted to do something and really I wasn't really happy with that. Or, you know, in relationships or even with friendships, you know. So I just think that, like, the biggest thing I learned was to not lie to myself. If you're really uncomfortable, so like, for me, I'm someone who will, like, stick it out and try to make everything work, you know, in every situation. And that's a dope thing, but I got to also be real with myself. If I'm not happy, if this is not working for me, is this the type of energy that I want to put out? Like, I need to really reserve, you know, my energy, reserve, you know, like, myself, and not put myself in situations that make me unhappy. And I've done that way too many goddamn times. Way too many fucking times. And I'm not even just talking about relationships. I'm talking about fucking, you know, jobs, friendships, you know, shit. Even, like, in the middle of the night, if I'm at a club and I really don't want to be there, I'm like, why am I here? Like, just, you know, and I'm just like, I feel pressured. Like, just, you know, from small to big, everything. If I'm not, you know, I just don't lie to yourself. And I feel like I want to be kinder to myself, and that's the biggest journey, is just learning to be kind to myself and to, you know, continue on with that. So it's still a journey I'll probably continue to have for the rest of my life, but that's what makes life, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Where can the people find you?
You could find me. Well, the easiest way to find me is going to brocotherapy.com. My podcast, Brocotherapy, is on Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher. I think it's on everything. But if you want to go to my website, brocotherapy.com, it's all there. And my social media is on there as well. That's weird to say. I was like, I've never plugged myself into
this show before. Thank you so much for coming through. I really appreciate just everything you do. I really appreciate you coming on the show and just come and talk. Aww. Like, this was really dope.
Of course, Mike. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I'm always here. We should hang out after this is over.
Yes, definitely.
We'll get to it. Yes. Now, where can the people find you?
You can find me on all social media at the Art of Letting Go podcast. You can find all of my music and creative endeavors at livetopshelf.bandcamp.com.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you guys for listening. This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go. Peace.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of The Art of Letting Go. If you like what you heard, please be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to this podcast and leave a comment. Let us know what you think. Let other people know what you think as well. If you want to get in touch with us, hit us up on all social media at The Art of Letting Go Podcast. Also, you can send me an email, theartoflettinggopodcast@gmail.com, or give us a call. Leave a message. We might play it on the show. 213-394-2773. Also, if you would like to support The Art of Letting Go, we got some really cool merch, as well as we're now on Patreon. You can find us, The Art of Letting Go Podcast. Subscribe to us. Thank you guys for listening. This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go.